Have your Bibles. Open them to 1 Peter chapter 3. And then we'll move from there and go to John chapter 1. And then we will finish up in John chapter 3. So 1 Peter chapter 3, John chapter 1, and then John chapter 3. I told Larry just a few moments ago when we first got here, that I may share with you guys kind of my week. It's been kind of a different kind of week. And I wasn't sure if I was or not, but then as Larry prayed this morning, I thought, well, that's exactly what I want to do. And so before we really get into the sermon this morning, I just wanted to just take a moment and share with you about my week, and I think it'll fit the sermon really well. It kind of started off on Monday morning like all weeks always do, and you know, I just did the things that I always do, and the things I always do is I always read and reflect on the scripture that I'm going to be preaching on Sunday morning and Sunday evening. So, bright and early Monday morning, I am reading 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. And this is my belief, and I think it's many believe this. I believe that the best commentary on Scripture is Scripture. And so, as I was reading over 1 Peter chapter 3, that led me to Colossians. And that led me to Hebrews. As you can see, we're not looking at that today. But that was the direction that I began to have on Monday morning. And so, this is a weekly occurrence for me. This is what I do every week. And so I begin reading the scripture and just jotting down notes, and sometimes I'll use an iPad to kind of like just jot down my notes, and when things are great, when things are working good, all these notes come together, and soon a sermon is born. And to me, it's always just an amazing thing. And so by Tuesday evening, you can watch it kind of grow and develop. And then, you know, normally by the end of the week, I have a sermon that has fully grown and is mature, and I'm ready to preach. That's really the best way I know to explain to you what I do to get ready to preach. And so by Wednesday morning this week, I was really comfortable with the sermon and really excited about being here today and preaching. And again, usually by the end of the week, I mean, it is just so alive in me, and I can't wait to preach. That's just fairly normal for me. Now, it's not always like that. There are these rare occasions where Thursday or Friday, I'll go crying to Cindy, I've got nothing. You know, I've read and I've studied, and I mean, I have nothing. Would you write me a sermon? And she goes, well, I've been doing it for 2 years, might as well keep it up, right? And when those times come, I just absolutely, I mean, I'm in agony when I have those kinds of weeks. So this past week, it at least in the beginning, it was nothing like that. Like I said, by Wednesday morning, everything is good and everything is wonderful and everything is great. And I'm just watching this thing develop and really can't wait to get here to preach it. By Wednesday afternoon, it all began to kind of, and I don't really know how to explain it to you, but it all began to kind of fall apart. It's like I would look at those notes and I would go, that's terrible. You know, that's horrible. And you know, I just look at it and I thought, oh my goodness, that's just a mess. And by Wednesday evening, I have scrapped all my notes. They are gone. And I don't like that at all. I am absolutely a mess, because when I wake up Thursday morning, my sermon's gone. It's absolutely gone. And I realize that, you know, I'm going to have to move in a new direction. And I don't know how it's all going to come together. And I am as uncomfortable as I ever get. I'm very, very uncomfortable. And again, I don't like this at all. I don't like, you know, by Thursday morning that I'm not, you know, my direction is clear and I know exactly what I'm going to do. I don't like it at all. And so I get up early Thursday morning and I get the Bible out and I'm reading through 1 Peter chapter 3 once again. And I'm reading it and I'm studying and I am as restless as I can be. I can't hardly sit still. It's so strange. And so I'm reading, and I knew I couldn't spend a lot of time reading because Cindy and I were going to breakfast. We had talked about how we wanted to come to breakfast with some of the Herman folks. It's the what group? The Joy Group. I apologize for not knowing that. But we had talked about how we wanted to come have breakfast with the Joy Group, and everything worked out where we could come. And we enjoyed ourselves. You were just such wonderful folks. Thank you so much for having us and just inviting us to come. Thank you so much. So we go and we eat breakfast. And I don't know if any of y'all noticed, but I'm very restless at breakfast and enjoying myself, but just very, very restless. My mind's going 100 miles an hour, and you know, that's why I look dizzy. But it's just going 100 miles an hour. We leave and we head home, and I sit down for just a couple of minutes and just trying to get my thoughts together, trying to really just get ready for Sunday morning, and I can't. I just can't be still. So finally, I have my youngest daughter and her family, they live across the street from me, and I asked Cindy, I said, well, just call my grandson. Have him come over. I'll grill us some lunch. But I just needed to be doing something. I grilled Italian sausage, green peppers, and onions. I shouldn't be doing that when you're hungry, right? Amen. Yeah, that's right. And it was so good. And he's the greatest young man ever. And just enjoyed spending time with him, and it just got my mind off of everything for a few moments. And he goes home. And I'm still so restless. And I tell Cindy, well, I just need to go outside. I'm going to go outside, work in the yard. Now, I didn't really have anything that I especially needed to do in the yard. So I'm just walking around my yard pulling weeds, you know. And just if you see a clover in the yard, I'm just pulling it up. And I got bored with that after a few moments. And then I don't know how it happened. But the next thing I'm doing is I'm laying on the garage floor, taking the blades off my lawnmower. Now, I've already sharpened the blades because the season has already started. But I'm taking the blades off of my lawnmower. And I get those blades off, and I'm shaving steel off them boys. I have my file, and I'm going. And I mean, those things, they're so sharp I shaved with them this morning, you know. I mean, I'm just going. I am going after them. And I take them, and I lay back down under my lawnmower, and I'm putting them back on. And God begins to speak to me. And he begins to kind of show me what he wanted me to do today. And he had this word for me. And a new sermon was about to be born, and I was getting really happy because I needed one, right? I mean, goodness gracious. Now, why did that happen? Why did that happen to me? Well, it happened to me because God really had a word for me personally. He had something that he wanted to say to me for my life. And I believe he has something to say to someone in here today. It wasn't just for me. And I believe that God works that way. And I'm just glad he doesn't work that way every week. Because I would just be a mess. But he works that way because he has a word for somebody. And isn't God great? And isn't God wonderful? Because I've seen this happen. I've seen this happen several times in life. And it's very uncomfortable. But it's when a speaker stands up or a preacher stands up to deliver a sermon and he's not ready. He's just not prepared. And quite a few years ago, 5, 6, 7 years ago, can't remember exactly, it was at the annual association meeting down in South Carolina. And the pastor who was supposed to speak, I believe it was on Friday, he became sick, he became ill. And so they asked another pastor to come fill in for him. I believe they asked him on Friday. I'm not sure of all the details. The meeting was on Monday morning. And so I get to the meeting that night, and the pastor comes up there, and he begins talking about what a great honor it was to be there. And, you know, he was thanking all of his friends. I mean, it was kind of strange how he started off, but, you know, he was just telling everyone what a great honor it was to be there. And he just talked a little longer just about what a great honor it was for him to be there. He just kind of dragged it out. Finally, he asked us to open up our Bibles, and he didn't really tell us where to turn in the Bible. And it was just silent for a few seconds, and he goes, "But let me begin with the story." And then it was silent for a few more seconds, and he goes, No. Let me start with some scripture." And so he stumbled and he fumbled for a few moments, and then he goes, No, let me start with a story." And it became very obvious and very apparent, and even understandable. He wasn't prepared. And it made me feel, and I'm sure it made others feel, just a little bit uneasy and a little uncomfortable and even a little embarrassed for him. And from that moment, I always pray, every week I pray, that whenever God gives me an opportunity for ministry, whenever he gives me an opportunity to speak, I will always be prepared. I always want to be prepared. See, when you're giving by the grace of God, I like to call them ministry moment, you don't want to lose it. You don't want to lose that moment. We don't want to let a ministry moment just slip through our hands. Because ministry moments are life-changing. You know, they are meant for people. And you never know when God's going to take a ministry moment in your life, and he's going to take you and make you and mold you into something that he desires in your life. Or you never know in a ministry moment where God's going to use you to speak maybe a word of hope, a word of encouragement, a word of love to somebody. You know, just a word of kindness. And it's for that reason that Peter inspires us and motivates us. And again, it's 1 Peter, it's chapter 3, and it's verse 15. Peter is inspiring us, motivating us to do this. Here it is. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who ask you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, if you would like, if you like to take notes, you could circle that word "ready," and out in the margin somewhere, you might want to write the words "adjusted" or prepared. And two more words, spit and filled. In the Greek, the definition for the word ready, it's where we get our word fitness, to be fit. To be fit and filled is to be prepared and ready. And what that means is something has to happen in me so that I will be prepared and ready. So that I'm always ready to give a word for the Lord. And again, it was Thursday morning. Cindy and I were headed out to breakfast, and we're driving my truck, and I realized that my truck is almost empty. And when you're almost empty, you need to get some gas, right? I mean, you don't get far when you run out of gas. And so here I am Thursday morning, and I'm filling my truck up with gas, and later in the afternoon I begin to think about that as I'm laying on the garage floor. I think I found a new place to study, right? And I begin to think about that, and I'm reminded, if we are empty, we don't work well, we don't do well. And we have to fill ourselves up. We have to be fueled up to be fit to operate. It's our able opportunity to move about in this world and to minister to people. And that's one of the reasons that we come in here on Sunday morning. It is so that we can get filled up, so that we can go out, and so that we will be fit and prepared and filled and ready for opportunities to speak for God. Because I want you to consider with me, outside of these walls, outside of this building, it's a world that waits. Now, they don't know it. They don't know that they're waiting on you and that they're waiting on me. But it's a world that waits for answers. And you've got the answer. You have the answer. I have the answer. Well, preacher, answers. What answers are you talking about? Well, it's the next word. It's that word defense. You see that word defense? If you have a King James version of the Bible, it is the word answer. Some of the new translations will use the word our explanation. In the original language, it's apologian, and it translates to our English word apology. And the implications are, and it's not saying, I'm sorry, I've got all the answers and you don't. That's not what it means at all. That's a position of pride. Ours is a position of pity. It's I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry what you're going through. I'm so sorry. I have some answers. I have some answers for you. I have the answers that you need. But again, preacher, what are the answers? The answers to what? Well, it's a little further in the verse, and it says, for the hope that's in you. You see, I have answers for the hope that lives in me, for the hope that resides in me. That means I have a word of hope that I can offer you. I have a word of encouragement that I can offer you. I have a word of love that I can offer you. And I want to be that person that makes available that word and those answers. You see, it is our call, it is our cause to be prepared for ministry moments and not let them slip through our hands. We never want to lose that opportunity. We want to always be ready. We want to always have His Word in our heart so that when that moment comes, we will have an answer for those who need an answer. You know what I've discovered over the years about people? Everyone I know needs a little bit of hope. Everyone I know needs a little bit of encouragement. Everyone I know needs to be loved. Everyone. And so we have a waiting world out there that's looking for answers. I recently, as a matter of fact, it was just a few days ago, I heard this preacher, and he was preaching about hope, and he was talking about here in America that this year here in America, 1.5 million teenagers will run away from home, will run as far away from home as they can possibly get. Why? Because they're hurting and they're looking for something. We all know how tough those teenage years can be and how difficult it can be. And I need to be, and you need to be ready to give them a word of hope and to give them a word of encouragement. Why do we need to be ready to give them a word of hope and a word of encouragement and really a word of love? Because every 13 minutes here in the United States, someone will take their own life. Every 13 minutes, somebody will take their own life. So that means if we're here an hour this morning, an hour and a half, four, five, six, maybe even seven people will go off in eternity by their own choice because they don't have any hope. They don't feel like anybody cares. They may have needed just a word of encouragement. We need to be people that offer love and hope and encouragement to people. A recent poll found that most Americans are very curious in the time that you and I live in, and you'll know this to be true. Most Americans are very curious about the afterlife. And you can see that even in the movies that has been coming out the past couple of years. There's this curiosity of what happens to me when I die. We just live in a time where there's just this great interest in the afterlife. We have the answers. We have the answers for folks. Further in the poll, 49% of Americans believe that your religious beliefs have no bearing on your eternal destiny. 49%, that's about half of the people, believe that all roads lead to heaven. That it really doesn't matter what you believe, that all roads will eventually lead you to heaven. And of course, my thought is, why in the world would Jesus have to die if all roads lead to heaven? You know, why? And again, we have the answer to these questions. We know that all roads don't lead to heaven. Just like all roads don't lead to Myrtle Beach, or all roads don't lead to Herman Baptist Church. For me to get to Herman Baptist Church, I have to get on Highway 200 and head south. That's the only way I'm going to get here. If I get on Highway 485 and head south, I'm just going to miss you. Oh, good. No amens. Whew! I was worried about that. Whew! I'll take 485 next week if you don't mind. All roads don't lead here. Just like all roads don't lead to the kingdom of God. And there's a world out there and they are empty, looking for answers and explanations. They want to know. The world doesn't know that they want to know, but they need to know what we know. They so need to know. Same poll. And this is the part of the survey I wanted you to hear, because this is where we're going this morning. In that same poll, they ask Americans, John 3:16, what does it mean? And a whopping 63% said, don't know. Don't know. John 3:16, I have no idea. And in just a moment, I'm going to explain to you exactly what John 3:16 means in some very simple terms. Because 63% of Americans said, we don't have any idea. Some of them said, we've seen the signs at football games and basketball games, but we don't know what it means. Some of them said, we know it's from the Bible, but I've never looked it up. I really don't know what it means. And listen to me. I don't want to be too quick to judge these people because maybe it's not their fault. Maybe it's my fault because I have the answers. I know what it means. Maybe it's my fault they don't know. Maybe I haven't shared the hope that's in me. My fault. Listen, I just don't know. I don't know many people out there that don't need a word of hope and a word of encouragement and a word of love. We live in a hurting world. Everybody I know has been hurt at some point in their life. People are discouraged. Sometimes they feel like giving up. And those of us who spend their life offering others encouragement, offering others a word of hope, offering others love, do you know we need it too? We need hope, love, and encouragement also. So my question for you to this morning, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you fit and filled so that those people out there who are looking for love, you can share a word of love with them? Because you know those people out there looking for love are looking for love in all the wrong places, right? Are you ready to share love with them? Are you ready to show and give them hope? They're looking for something. And God will give us these ministry moments. And we don't want to let even one moment slip by. A word from us about the hope in us, well, it may change someone's life. It may make all the difference in the world. We have a word. We have a voice. Again, I'm laying on the garage floor. It's got to be a great place from now on. I'm laying on the garage floor, and this verse just began to flow through my mind. I just couldn't get it off of my mind. It's John chapter 1. It's verse 23. John chapter 1. Verse 23, it says this, He said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And that just stuck in my mind. It just over and over in my mind. Make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. When I could get up and go inside, I got my Greek Bible out, and I looked up that word wilderness, and do you know the first word in the Greek Bible, as you look past the word wilderness, do you know what it is? It's the word lonely. The second word is the word deserted. And I begin to realize there's a lot of lonely people out there in the world. There's a lot of people out in the wilderness of the world who feel forsaken, abandoned, rejected, and unloved. They don't think anybody cares. And they are in need of a voice from the wilderness. And there's many voices, many, many voices in the world out there. But we must be that voice crying for Jesus. Sharing our hope and sharing our love. Sharing that Jesus offers mercy, forgiveness, and encouragement and love. All these hurting people out there in the wilderness, they need to hear from us. As a matter of fact, not only all those hurting people out there in the wilderness, I'm sure there's somebody right here in this room that's hurting and needs a voice of hope and a voice of love. So would you be that voice? If you would be that voice, if I would be that voice, I think it would become an adventure in faith for us. Because we would see some people strengthened. We might even see some people saved. We would definitely see people change by this gift of hope and by the sharing of love that you have in you. See, See, that verse in Peter, it says the hope that's in you, it's not meant to stay in you. That's meant to be shared. That is something that we're supposed to tell other people about. We're supposed to share with them the hope that's in me. Well, preacher, what is that hope that's in me? What is it that you're talking about? The best answer to that is John 3:16. John 3:16. You know what John 3:16 says? It says, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me for what? Come on, y'all. That's right. For the Bible tells me so. John 3:16 tells us that Jesus loves us. Listen to it with me. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Again, if you like to take notes, circle that word love. I'm not teaching you anything you don't already know. That word love is the word agape. That is the greatest expression of love, period. Nobody can love you more than agape love. It is the very essence of God. God agapes you. God is agape. Everything that God does, knows, and is flows from His love. For God so loved the world. And do you know what people need to know? God loves them. God loves them. God loves them. I remember before I got saved, I had a lot of people sharing with me that I needed Jesus. Some shared one way, some shared another way. Some shared, Glenn, you need to get your act together or you're going to hell. Now, I want you to know that had no effect on me whatsoever. One man spent a year sharing with me, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And it changed my life. It changed my life, and I received Jesus as my Savior because people want to know God loves you. People want to know that somebody cares, that God cares. In that very same survey of the poll that they took of Americans, do you know what they discovered? Many, many Americans, and I forget the number, and I apologize for that, many, many Americans believe that God is angry at them. They think that there's this God out there somewhere who is very, very angry with them, and when He gets the chance, He's going to destroy them. He's just going to ruin them. Can I share with you this morning, God's not mad at you. God's not angry at you. And it's not just good enough that I share that with you. I need to prove it to you, right? Look in the next verse. John chapter 3, verse 17. Look at what it says. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. See, Jesus didn't come into the world to ruin your life. He came into this world to rescue your life. He didn't come in here to destroy you. He came into this life to help you. You see, when Jesus came to the world, He didn't come to the world to condemn it because it was already condemned. When Jesus was born and when Jesus came into this world, it was already out of control. It was already condemned. So when Jesus came, He came to save your life. He came to rescue you. Because He loves you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave what was most precious to Him. And you don't give up what's most precious to you unless you love someone. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the hope that's in me. That is the hope that's in you. And I am to spend my life sharing that hope. sharing a word of encouragement, sharing a word of love. There's a watching, waiting world that desperately needs to hear, yes, Jesus loves me, right? They need to hear that. Praise team, if you would come on this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and events of life have just frustrated you. They've just made life a little difficult for you. You might be here this morning and yet be in the most difficult season of your life. And you're tempted to quit and you're tempted to give up. Here's what I want you to know this morning. You can bring all that frustration, you can bring all of that hurt, and you can lay it down at the feet of Jesus and trust in Him. He will not let you down. He will not abandon you. He will not forsake you. Jesus loves you more than I'm able to express to you this morning. He cares that much for you. So I'm going to ask you if you would stand with me. And I invite you this morning to come and place your hope in Him. Too many of us today, we just need, with wherever we are in our life, we just need to come and give it to Jesus and begin to rest in Him. I mean, just rest our life in Him. Whatever situations that you're living in today or dealing with today, whatever problems you're facing today, and it has just worn you out, you can come and give it to Jesus and rest in Him. So as these folks sing this morning, I invite you to come. Come and trust in Him. Come and rest in Him. Come and just give your hope to Him as they sing.